Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Lenzing's conference call on the results of the year 2011. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode. To follow the presentation online, please access the anywhereconference.com. If any participant has difficulty hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on a telephone for operator assistance. I now hand you over to Peter Untersberger, CEO of Lenzing AG. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. I welcome you to today's conference call regarding our full year results 2011. I'm joined by my colleagues Fritz Weninger, our fiber expert, and the CFO Thomas Winkler. We will guide you through the presentation. And after the presentation, which is quite short, please ask all your questions. We have enough time. Let me start right away with page 3 to give you a summary of our major facts for the stunning 2011. Well, as you see, for the first time we passed the 2 billion euro sales, exactly plus 21%, 2.14 billion. Also in full meeting the guidance of the EBITDA between 460 and 500, an increase of 45% to 480 million, and an increase on the EBIT, also meeting the consensus 364 million. Thomas then will go into more detail explaining you the depreciation, which you also made already aware that the fourth quarter is a little bit higher. Please also take into account that net debt came down another 50% to 159 million on an extremely solid balance sheet. And all that resulted that we also have, and as we said also, that 25% of our net results should go to the shareholders, that we will offer the general meeting of shareholders a dividend of 2.5 euro, which would represent a dividend yield of roughly 3%. So this is really a bang in line, meeting all the guidance, and particularly for quarter four. We gave you a very clear guidance which we could meet almost to the million. We told you that we are confirming for the fourth quarter a kind of Q1 level guidance on EBITDA and EBIT. It came in even a little bit better than we expected. Even on an overall price, we could increase our viscose prices, particularly tensile prices came in very favorable, and even Modal came in quite good. So sales in the fourth quarter more than or almost 550 million euro and an EBITDA of 117. So that's also for the fourth quarter with quite volatile cotton prices in the fourth quarter, a margin of 21.4%. I go further on to page 5, and here you see two major trends. The one is that you see that this strong increase in cotton prices, which went up to 160 cents a pound, so more than $4 a kilo, came down already in the second half quite strongly, consolidating roughly 50%. And even if the 50%, of course, Lenzing had to adjust its standard viscose prices to a certain extent, but not that much. Fritz then will point out that very nicely. But what very important is we see a structurally new cotton price of around 100 cents a pound, $1 a pound. So it may it went up to even more than 110 in the January. Now we are a little bit down below the 100, but obviously it's hovering around this 100. That's about $2.20 a kilo, and therefore roughly 25 to 30% above the long-term trend price of $160 a kilo. I think that's significant, and that's very, very important, because we are not going to see the historical low level of cotton prices again. What else? You see, if you make a trend line into the 5 years on the green bars from 2008 to 2012, that Lansing more or less is doubling its results on based on EBITDA from 200 to a minimum of 400. And if everything for the rest of the year would go fine, Thomas will explain it, even would achieve again the 480. On the next page, page 6, you see that we are still in a growing market. All mega trends are nicely going on. Consumption, income in Asia, sustainability, climate change. And we are very happy to confirm that we are in a growing market. The CAGR for the growth CAGR is 8.6% for the next 4 years. You see a very, very nice growth. The next 600,000 tons for the next 2 years, another more than 1 million tons up to 6.4 until 2015. And if you take the blue colored, then you see the Lansing or the European growth, which represents more or less Lansing up from 0.8 to 1.3. And if you take the middle line, which represents the development of Lansing up from 0.7 to 1.2, which represents exactly that what we told you last year. This is our long-term growth trend. Lansing growth fully in line with the market. This is, you may say, well, this is still conservative on the base that 2011 was much, much stronger, yes, but it's still outperforming and outgrowing the market with 8.6%. We also told you very clearly already in the second half that the Chinese competitors are not growing so fast and so well as Lansing. At least all over the second half, the utilization was between 50 and 70%, one even lower, another one a little bit higher. So you may ask why Lansing is not doing utilization at 60%. Yes, this is has to do that we are the best quality supplier in China, that we are the high quality producer in China, and we have been running more or less full utilization all over the year. Even now in the first quarter we run full utilization. So that's underlining, even in the standard viscose, in the normal viscose business, our strong position, and Fritz then will explain to you even our better position in the specialties. So may I hand over now to Fritz to give you the details of the fiber business.
Good afternoon, this is Fritz Wenninger. We are now on page 7, and let me give you some aspects for the last year. If you look at the left-hand side, you see, not surprising, the fiber business still dominates a lot, the Lansing business with 90% of all the business we have. 8% is plastics, and closely 2% is our engineering business. But the more interesting part now is on the right-hand side up, specialty fibers are driving our business. And here you see that we have, in specialties, we mean modal, tensile, and you see how strong the increase was last year to compare to 2010. In tensile, we were growing 29%. In modal, we were growing 38%. And in viscose, we were growing 18%. Our strategy, where we always underlined the growth of specialties on a portion of the total business, we had 2010 32.7% share of the total fiber business was in specialties, modal and tensile, and this one we could grow up to 35.5% in 2011. On the volume, of course, Lansing modal was driven not just by sales price increases, it was also driven by volume. We had an increase of volume in modal 2010 to 2011 of 15%. Tencel and viscose each were growing by 4% in terms of volumes. If you go down on this page, you see the business units, the size of the business units, and the business unit textiles, our major business, already caught the 1 billion level, so we were having sales of 1.16 billion euros, a growth of 24%, and the non-woven business, the second largest business we do have in the group, was growing by 18% up to 420 million euros turnover. Let's move to the next page, page number 8. Here you see the fiber price development. We're talking here about the average price of all prices, viscose, modal, and tensile. And there we came up in an average price of $1.90 in 2010. And at an average price of $2.22 per kilogram, euros per kilogram in 2011. So that means a price increase of 17%. If you go more, let's say, quarter by quarter in 2011, you see that we had a very, very strong first and second quarter with really price hikes. It came down in May starting by close to 9% from quarter 3 to quarter 2 minus. But then everybody expected we will have maybe a further difficult quarter in fourth quarter. It was not the case. We could increase another time the price by roughly 1% from Q4 to Q3. Coming out of the textile business, the dental business, dental fibers were growing by 5%, and the viscose in textiles also were growing by 1%. In terms of volume, we were coming up from 677,000 tons in 2010 to 713,000 tons of sales in 2011, which means a growth of plus 5%, more than 5%. All in all, it was a record quarter in fourth quarter with sales of more than 400 million euros turnover. Next page, please. We are page number 9. This is fiber by fiber, so to say, and here you see that the Lenzing viscose fiber in textiles is a bit more volatile compared to the specialties. There you see the flattening out then finally on the second quarter to the third quarter by minus 16%. But then was stabilizing, and we could increase the fibers, as I mentioned before, Q4 to Q3. More interesting on this slide is the speciality fibers, modal and tensile. Modal being stable at high levels all over the year, so to say. In tensile, we were able to really increase the fibers quarter by quarter, and you see as red marked, from Q4 to Q3, we could make another price increase of 5%. Please, on page number 10. On page number 10, you see the non-wovens business, where we always indicated this is a business which is not as volatile as the textile viscose business. And this is also manifesting here that we had, of course, a price decline from Q3 to Q2. By 6%, but then kept on going stable. And then dental fibers, we were moving up to a price premium of more than 20% in this business. Now it comes to the question on page number 11, price premiums, and this we also discuss quite often, how much the price premium can be of the speciality fibers to the standard viscose fibers. And you see that we have, compared to historic data, an outstanding price premium, for instance, modal to viscose fibers, where we have in textiles close to 70% price premium to the viscose fiber in textiles, which I must say is a bit unnatural already, because we always said natural price premium viscose to modal is between 40 to 50%. And that was also the reason why we had to adjust the price to January, as of January to December, by a 10% price decline. In dental fibers, where we always say it's 20 to 30%, we are having a price premium of also 60%, but this price premium we keep on going, and there is no indication that we do some action there. Well, this is, I think, about price premium and viscose fibers, and I would like to hand over now to Thomas, giving you some financial data.
Thank you, Fritz. Let me make 3 points on slide 12 and in connection with our 2011 P&L. One, with a growth rate of more than 20% in sales, we've broken through the 2 billion euro sound barrier, so to say, and are well on track for a double-digit CAGR also in the period of 2011 to 2050. Two, the 2011 record results would not have been possible without the record fiber prices in the first half year. And thirdly, a 5 percentage point increase in ROCE to more than 23% and a margin improvement of 4 percentage points are outstanding in the best sense of the word. I would say we have delivered on our promises. Turning to slide 13. Compared with last year, we managed to slash our net debt by half while growing our business, something which is also not so easy to do. Of course, a growing business requires more working capital, and we continued to invest. Still, we generated almost 100 million of operating free cash flow, and for details regarding the cash flow, please turn to slide 29 if you want to find out more. The other point I would like to make on slide 13 is, in times of high volatility on the capital markets, a liquidity cushion of 750 million euro does not only ensure a good night's sleep, but is paramount to execute our clear-cut expansion plan in almost full independence. And a net debt to EBITDA ratio of 0.33 times is another sign of a healthy starting base for our expansion plan. What is there to be pointed out on Q4, which you will find on slide 14, and a full set of Q4 numbers you find in the backup of the presentation starting from slide 18. Well, the first point that stands out is the 188,000 tons, which represent an all-time sales record for a quarter, and we were able at the same time to sustain 38% in specialties. 170 million euro of EBITDA and a 21.4% margin are in accordance with our Q4 guidance, which was on Q1 level. So at the end of Q3, we told you that we would have a Q4 which is comparable to Q1, and that's what we've delivered. As this has also been pointed out when releasing our Q3 numbers, you should have anticipated a slightly higher depreciation in Q4 from one-offs. Roughly three-quarters of the total amount of 17.8 million, so roughly 18 million euros of one-offs, comes from the plastic segment. And the remainder, or 4.5 million, are minor write-downs in the fiber segment. Which brings me to the end of the presentation and probably the thing that interests you most, which is on slide 15, the outlook for the full year 2012 and the first quarter. As pointed out before, 2011 has been an outstanding year. 2012 is expected to be a good year, but it's not going to be a record year. With lower average prices in 2012 compared to 2011, we still expect to grow our sales to 2.2 to 2.3 billion euros, mainly due to our production increase, and I'll touch on it in a second. Depending on the macroeconomic environment, EBITDA should be between 400 and 480 million. The low end, if nothing changes from Q1, the high end, if our current scenario, which is a reverse mirror image of 2011 for the quarters, will prevail. The same is true for the EBIT guidance of 285 million to 365 million, which implies a depreciation amortization on a normalized level of 115 million euros. Sales volume of 810,000 tons represents an increase of approximately 100,000 tons over 2011. This is made up by the full year availability of the LNF, i.e. our Chinese plant capacity, and a debottlenecking at LNF from 140,000 to 160,000 tons in the second quarter. An increase of production in the US from the demothballing of line 1 by 15,000 tons, and of course the capacity goes to 50,000 tons. And selling more trading goods from Kelheim, which is an increase from roughly 20,000 tons to over 35,000 tons. CapEx, it has already been mentioned, let me mention it once more, is estimated at approximately 350 million euro, or roughly 15% CapEx to sales. With the start of our project in India and the Tensil project in Austria, the Indian project has already started with first groundworks. We expect the Tensil works to start beginning of the third quarter in Austria, with the environmental permission process going very smoothly. It is explainable why we are confident that this is the CapEx ratio that we are going to achieve. The dividend policy remains unchanged at 25% of net profits, of group net profits. Let me quickly touch on the Q1 and the Q1 guidance. Q1 is expected to be our weakest quarter, reflecting the soft trend from end of last year being carried over for the first quarter. This means that we expect the average price in Q1 to be around 2 euros. 2 euros, and let me remind you, it was 2 euro 15 in Q4. And the EBITDA should come in a range of 90 to 95 million euros. I would like to leave it here, and thank you for your attention, and we are now delighted to answer your questions.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please leave the handset before making your selection. So once again, if you wish to ask a question, dial 0 and 1, and if you need to cancel that question, you can dial 0 and 2. One moment, please, for our first question. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks very much, gentlemen. I've got three questions, if I can, please. Firstly, on the Tensil price, particularly textile in the fourth quarter, if I remember rightly, you said with Q3 that the sort of pickup in Tensil prices you expected to be temporary. It was partly due to a particular product mix issue. Yet, obviously, things improved much further in the fourth quarter, and you're now expecting things to remain stable at these sorts of levels. Can you talk us through a little bit about the mix issue and whether the mix has permanently changed, or whether you've actually pushed through price increases on the sort of on the broad spectrum of your Tensil graded products, please? Secondly, regarding your dividend policy, obviously the sort of the guidance that you're providing for 2012 would suggest, it was pretty much in line with consensus, and would suggest earnings lower in 2012 than 2011. Just conceptually, are you aiming to try and maintain a stable dividend a stable absolute dividend in 2012 versus 2013, do you think, or will your 25% payout ratio predominate in your thinking, i.e. a dividend decrease next year? this year? And thirdly, we're seeing spot prices of viscose in China slipping again post the Chinese New Year. Given the seasonality of the garment industry and the garment manufacturing industry, when are you expecting things to, you know, to see signs that things are beginning to improve? And quite bluntly, when's the sort of make or break point, do you think, which will determine whether the year is four times Q1, i.e. the bottom of your guidance, or whether things are actually going to improve for the year? When do you think you'll have a very clear view on that? Thank you.
First question, the dental fiber price increase you mentioned in textiles, this plus 5% from Q4 to Q3 was connected to a product mix improvement, so to say, and we are producing more dental A100s out of the Grimsby plant. We are producing more dental microfibers and also more dental LF fiber, which comes from the Austrian plant in Heiligenkreuz. This all connects to the price increase in Q4 to Q3. This 5%. Volumes. You see, also we are more in line with 20,000 tons in textiles a quarter, because we have no capacity increase until end of April this year, where there comes additional capacity in Immobile, as Thomas mentioned. Will that be sustainable? Yes, because we are the share of our A100 mainly. This is the major driver from the UK plant. Keeps on going quite nicely, and we are increasing the volumes this year, even above the budget right now.
Question. Obviously, we have a scenario that leans more towards a reverse mirror image. So I would not like to think of what happens if the EBITDA is at 400 million, but more if what happens if the EBITDA is at 480 million, and that would be a stable dividend in absolute and in percentage terms. But the stability of our dividend policy is supposed to point into the 25% of net profit direction. So, of course, if the net profit would go down compared to 2011, the dividend would also go down, because it would be a 25% of the net profit figure, more than an absolute. And that's what I meant by dividend continuity.
Well, on the prices, you are correct. The prices have come down again, but that was a continuous up and down since actually fourth quarter and first quarter. We have seen even... I think that is mainly driven by the volatility of cotton prices, which are around plus minus 15%. And of course, particularly the low quality Chinese guys have to adjust to that. Not so much Lansing. Well, if you ask for a breaking point, there is no breaking point because on the viscose, on the standard viscose, yes, we have the benchmark cotton, but on non-wovens that's not of relevance. On the modal, I would say a little bit, and on the tensile, not at all. On the other side, I think quite interesting, you should know that we have been able to increase prices even in China for January, February, and even in March, and the same was in Indonesia. Indonesia is a quite hot market. We have not enough viscose. Turkey is doing fine, also price increases. So it's a little bit a mixed picture. And it has primarily to do with soft landing in China, and we expect that particularly in the second half, the knot will get open, and China will come back to much, much better growth.
Thank you. Just to be clear then, your general feeling is that obviously sentiment in terms of viscose pricing and supporting Lansing is more driven by short-term fluctuations in cotton than necessarily a pickup in the sort of the garment industry and activity in China driving viscose prices back up.
Well, as I said, we have a good demand in China for viscose. The cotton demand in China is not that good.
We have an extremely very good demand for viscose in Indonesia and in Turkey. I stick to that. That's not as hot as last year in the first half, but it's fine.
Please go ahead, sir.
Couple of questions, gentlemen, if I may. In the modal business, you said the price adjustments were necessary also because the premiums expanded quite a lot. In some other section of the press release, I guess you said it's also because of additional capacities. Now you have an 80% market share. Is that more or less your capacities that have come to the market and forced some price adjustments, or is it any other movement? What's the dynamics in the modal business?
Talk about modal, of course. Our capacity was coming on stream was from 77,000 tons to more than 100,000 tons. And this was it at the end of the day, because the capacities of the other competitors remained the same. So we still have a market share of 80%. But it's not just a competition on, let's say, on other modal producers. It's also competition, for instance, on long staple cotton fibers, etc. And this was the reason, because we want to expand quite strongly. We expanded already last year to 2010 by 15%, so it was a strong increase already. And we need there to go to other applications, to expand in other applications, and this is, of course, in some cases necessary to reduce the prices. But of course it was not a general price reduction we did, because on microfibers not at all, and on for instance on the towel fiber not at all, but in certain applications where it was a special plant with cotton, we had to do it in order to increase this kind of volumes.
Okay, and the second would be, can you confirm that the CapEx delays we're seeing are based on more or less a spillover in 2012? You mentioned some delayed invoices here, rather than you just basically scaling down the CapEx overall a bit. I guess it's not a sign of currently mixed markets, rather than just an invoicing delay, right?
Let me answer this by pointing you to a note that I will figure out while another question is answered, and I will give you the exact page on the annual report. But in the annual report, you see a mention of firm orders which have not been paid as yet, and this number has gone up from 50 to more than 100 million. So it's gone up by more than 50 million. And you cannot exactly drive it, and I don't even want to exactly drive it, because if I don't get anything for it, I just push it over to January, or let it be pushed over to January to pay it off. But it has nothing to do, as you've pointed out, with us delaying projects. On the contrary, we are now very confident that with India and with the Tencel project in Austria being with no delays, which we couldn't confirm or guarantee you before, that the spending rate is going to go up at the latest by the third quarter with the start of the Tencel project.
Yeah, okay. And then just some kind of a soft fact question. You seem to be biased towards the top end of your earnings guidance. Is that just a bias, or is the 480 more or less, is the reverse mirror more or less your budget? And if so, why wouldn't you base that budget as the midpoint of the guidance?
Yeah, no. I think we have a very clear guidance strategy. The guidance strategy that we are having is, we don't want to give you, our realistic expectation as the high point and then outperform it or whatever. We want to give you our best view. You are right that we are biased in so far as our scenario, our macroeconomic scenario, is going for an overall economic recovery that will fully push through the demand side from the retail side that Peter has also mentioned, which will in due course, with a certain delay, bring up also our prices. But as you know, this is a working assumption, as we all do not have all too much visibility on a macroeconomic development over the year. In our case, as I said, we had to go for nothing changes with compared to Q1, which is the low end, and there is an improvement, which is our expectation, but which we all do not know over the quarters.
Okay. Maybe coming back to Turkey, you said it's a very strong market. You're a big exporter to this market, and we've seen a couple of news here from Grasim setting up a fibers capacity there. Is that a risk? I mean, what is your market share? Do you expect to lose some business?
Well, yes, you're right. Grasim has announced, but they also immediately have clearly said at the press conference that, of course, they are not coming and starting up with 180,000 tons. It will be maybe 60,000 tons or 80,000 tons the first line. Turkey surely is an interesting market for Grasim. They are exporting from India, they're exporting from Thailand, and even from Indonesia into Turkey. They are selling with a significant reduction against Lansing. Yeah, okay. We consider that they just want to put up a plant there, maybe increasing their market share against the Chinese. Chinese are also exporting from China into Turkey. We have a market share of close to 50%, and we are going to actively defend this market share.
Okay, perfect. And then maybe on the Sappi situation, they're now, I guess, increasingly I tracked it to the chemical pulp side of things, so they are also converting the Cloquet plant. Is there some scope to get additional volumes at this very favorable agreement?
Well, that depends very much on the final offer, and if it is, if it would be in line with that, what we have right now, yes. I think Fritz told you also that we are in negotiations on an offer they put on the table on the Gondwana plant. That sounds not so unfavorable for Lansing. Let's see. We are not in a hurry and in any urgent need to immediately make a final agreement.
Okay.
Maybe as a final point, as I've promised,
yep.
Two pages I could point you to. It's page 28 of the annual report and page 125 or note 21, where you see open purchase orders. And they have gone up from 105.5, they have gone up from 53.4 to 105.5 million euros over the year, which clearly points to that, you know, it's a bit of an ambiguous or arbitrary figure that we put up as CapEx.
That's excellent. Thanks very much.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the question. I have actually three questions. The first one is the disposal of non-current assets of 26.7 million. Is that the sale of the filaments business? And if so, is that an income statement gain? And where is it booked? The second question would be, can you remind us what is the sundry operating income in the note 10 of the financial statements referred to? And third and last question would be, given the volume guidance of 810,000 tons, which will bring close to 100% utilization rate, given the ramp-up in capacity, is there any downtime needed for the operation throughout the year, or you can run the entire year at close to 100% utilization rates? Thanks.
Maybe I ask your last question. The volume 810,000 tons for the budgeted for this year. We in the past we can really show you that our capacity utilization is of course not 100%, but it's 95% throughout the year. Even if it's getting a bit more difficult or this and that, but we are running through a 95% a year. This we showed even in a very difficult year in 2009, where we also ran at 95 to 96% a year. So there is no downtime to be forecasted. Yeah. So
okay.
We stick to this figure being, of course, absolutely manageable, viable. No question about that. No question about that. And we also have no other, let's say, other capacities increased, where you could say that for that reason we have to shut down one line or whatever to get the capacity increase running. So this is not the case.
Please repeat again your first question.
Sure. It's the disposal of non-current assets of 26.7 million. In the proceeds of disposal repayment of non-current assets in the cash flow statement, is that the sale of the filaments business? Is that an income statement gain on that?
Yes, this is rightly. This is comes from the filament business and some other sale of not necessary equipment, which is more or less every year a kind of recurring item of 2-3 million euro.
Yeah, my question is because there was assets and liabilities for discontinued operations in the balance sheet were almost the same. So I would assume that you have then an income statement gain. Is that the case? Is that the EPS number reflects?
No. Because that all happened in 2010, and it was booked in a way that it had no impact on the 2011 P&L.
Now I've got the question. Yeah.
And the other question would be note number 10.
Yeah.
It's on page 114.
Yeah.
You have 23.279 million of sundry operating income. Could you remind us what this is about?
Well, that's always the sundry, the kind of the dustbin, so to say, connection.
This includes all kinds of subsidies we get from the Austrian kind of governmental agencies. This includes payments we get for running a boiler. We have there a big 300,000 waste boiler we get money for. This includes the money coming from running a kind of water purification plant, which we do for the municipality. This includes about 3.5 million euro for the CO2 emission certificates. This includes a payment, of something 6 million euro. So this is a wide array of smaller incomes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I would have one follow-up question related. You mentioned during the call the one-off write-offs which have occurred in the fourth quarter. Could you please once again repeat the detailed number? Is it correct that it was in total 22.5 million euros?
The one-off depreciations, you mean?
Yes.
No, it was 17.8 million.
17.8.
Yes.
And this just relates to the plastics operation, or is there also something that would be...
No. All but 4.5 million relates to the plastics division, which is roughly 75%. Okay?
Okay. And then I would have another question related to the detailed cost split you provided in the presentation on page 19. The other cost position is fluctuates quite heavily throughout the quarters and was severely down in the third quarter to 87.6 million, now increased again to 122.4 million in the fourth quarter. What is the factor that causes these fluctuations in there?
You're referring to what chart? Let me just find it.
On page 19 of the presentation, the other cost position.
Yeah, it's again. You're always catching me with the other positions, because the other positions do go up, because it's like the, you know, all the stuff that doesn't really count. I mean, you see it in the footnote. It's including trading goods, and of course the costs for the trading goods and the other raw material. To make a difference. If I kind of may split it up, it's like 20% of these costs, okay, mm-hmm. refer to the sales that we have for the trading goods from Kelheim, mm-hmm. and 28% to be precise, refers to Paskov, wood and other costs that we are talking about. And there are fluctuations which, again, have something to do with the precise date at which they are coming in.
Okay. No, that's perfect. I just wanted to get a rough idea.
Thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks. Yes, I have a couple of follow-ups. One, I'm not sure that you'll really have visibility on this, but obviously the tax rate was rather higher than you'd been anticipating for the full year, and I'm assuming that's largely because BNC had not sort of reinvested the proceeds of not only yours but a number of other disposals during 2011. We've seen them sort of starting to make acquisitions again now. Do you have any gut feeling, working assumptions on the tax rate for this year? And could you remind us again, is your underlying tax rate, which you stated before was around 25%, is that does that remain unchanged? And secondly, just on, just wanted to clarify some pricing assumptions for the first quarter. As I understand it, you said that modal prices would be roughly 10% down quarter on quarter, which puts you in the sort of 275 type region for Q1. Tencel looks like it's going to be about the same sort of level if it's flat quarter on quarter, so about the 275 level, and Viscose will be about one. The implicit price of Viscose on the basis of your average price at €2 would be about 170 for Viscose in the first quarter. That would suggest that you're going to actually still get a 60-odd% premium for both Tencel and Modal in Q1. Are my calculations there reasonably accurate?
Yes, let me answer the first question on the tax rate. Of course, the BNC tax group plays a role. And you should not forget, it's an absolute number that is shrinking, but it's like 5 million that we are looking at. And of course, if your earnings are considerably higher, these 5 million do not help you as much bringing down your tax rate. The other reason, but that's by far not the only one. The other reason is we've made very, very good money both in Mobile in the U.S., where the tax rate is 35%, and we also had, of course, a UK tax rate of 28% with Grimsby also making good money in 2011. So we have a number of contributors, okay, that we didn't have to this extent or in this absolute numbers in the past, that also kind of are inevitably, I would even dare to say, bringing up the tax rate. And the combination of all of this okay, brought up the tax rate higher than our guidance, because our guidance was 21 to 23%, and we've ultimately ended up at 24%. Of course, now you want to have an estimate for 2012 and forth following, and all I can give you is, again, an educated guess, because you've nearly answered the question yourself by saying it depends to a certain extent on the future investment policy and so on of BNC. I would advise you to kind of carry on the current 24% tax rate as a working assumption, and we get a bit more clarity and try to give you more clarity as the year develops, because just to make things really complicated, BNC has a tax year that ends 30th of September. So we are also getting the tax benefit from BNC with a certain delay into our books. But I think the best is not to expect the tax rate to go down, everything else being equal, but keeping it at the 24% level.
Okay, thank you. And on those fiber price assumptions?
Yeah, fiber prices, Peter, you are more or less right. Yeah, you are with the viscos in the 170s, you are right. In the Modal, the premium is on the high 50, say on the and on the dental on the 60 and stable.
Great, thank you very much.
There are no further questions. I now hand back to Mr. Peter Untersteiger.
Yeah, if there are obviously no further questions, I would like to thank you very much, also in the name of Fritz and Thomas, for your participation and for the excellent questions, and I hope we could serve with very good answers. So if there are no further questions, many thanks, all the best, and talk to you soon again.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.